As a theater director, I've worked with father artists from different disciplines at different stages of my career. And the creative interaction between their fatherly lives and artistic lives was always hard for me to understand until I had a child of my own. My son Ethan, now 4, was born with the genetic condition trisomy 21, also known as Down syndrome. Since medical tests during my wife's pregnancy indicated a normal child, we were stopped in our emotional tracks when within 12 hours of his birth, an harassed junior pediatrician casually announced to us that she suspected he had Down syndrome. She returned later that day with the blood test evidence of her hunch and a poorly photocopied sheet with a general explanation of the genetic condition. My first day of fatherhood was not what I expected it to be. The following day, I went to a rehearsal of my production of Brian Friel's new play about the Czech composer Janáček called Performances. Going to rehearsal so soon after Ethan's birth was partly an attempt to escape, and partly because we were going to open in a few weeks, and I felt an instinctive obligation to keep the gestation of the play moving forward. My wife and I were both shaken and disrupted by the news of our son's disability. On that first night spent alone, I was bedeviled with dark thoughts about my ability to fulfill my role as a father to Ethan and, selfishly, to continue to have the sparkle and inspiration which my theatrical work demanded. I imagined a life where most of my energies would be spent on caring for a son who had critically severe special needs. My instinctive allegiance, I knew, would be to protect and nourish Ethan, but I feared the implications for my own creative work. After several challenging days and nights, during which time I sporadically regretted my decision to become a father, particularly at this stage in my life, I then had an extraordinary dream. My own father, Nathan, died when he was relatively young. He was 44. I was 7 years old at the time, and I have very few strong memories of him. I would dream of him every so often, but not frequently. I didn't remember how his voice sounded, either in memory or in dream. During the first week of Ethan's birth, I heard and saw my father clearly for the first time in my life. In the dream, he appeared in a 1950s-style checked blouson jacket and well-creased trousers and approached me from a far distance. I saw he was holding baby Ethan. Then very deliberately, he walked up to me and with great import, he handed Ethan to me and said in a voice which I had not remembered before this moment, "Ethan is my gift for you." I woke up the next morning feeling refreshed and happy for the first time since Ethan's birth a week ago. My father had spoken very clearly. I felt linked to generations of fathers, grandfathers, and their fathers, and I was reminded of the importance and responsibility of the fatherly life cycle in my own life, and in all the plays I had created in the past and will create in the future. My father in my dream had given me my son, but he had also given me a Delphian clue to understanding how powerful my search for the father had been in me and the work I chose to write, adapt, and direct. He was a professional heavyweight boxer and then a soldier in World War II. Before he died, I was too young to understand what wishes he may have had for me when he, like the hero warrior Hector in the Iliad, held me above his head and gave me his own fatherly blessing. I treasured a few fragments of memories of him and tried to piece them together, sometimes by writing about them, and often by being drawn to works which themselves were about the relationship of father to son and the impact of a father's deeds and influences on his son. Through Ethan, I can reacquaint myself with my own father. I am reminded that my own quest for my father is also an archetypal dramatic theme. Of course, dramatic literature has countless examples of stories which are driven by the search for a father, but I began to reflect on and piece together a subconscious personal search that was at play throughout my directing career. I realized an important theme of my work was to choose plays which gave me clues to how a father-son relationship matures from childhood to adulthood. Indeed, one evening while reading a charming children's story of a young boy's journey of self-discovery with an orphaned penguin, lost and found, to Ethan at bedtime, I remembered sitting on the floor of the local library on Ocean Parkway in South Brooklyn, reading an illustrated children's version of the Odyssey shortly after my father died. Was I subconsciously drawn to my very first fatherly quest for his son, and a son's unrelenting need to be rejoined with his father? My search for insights into my father through my exploration of dramatic literature continued throughout my career. There has been one playwright in particular that I've returned to as a director time and again, and that has been Arthur Miller. Ironically, in terms of my own circumstances, it has been recently publicly revealed that Miller, who grew up in my Brooklyn neighborhood and attended the high school I subsequently went to, also fathered a child with Down syndrome. But he chose to place his son in care and deny his existence in his own life, perhaps fearing the impact on the continued ascendancy of his own work. It's a fear that I can't understand now that Ethan is part of my life. But the complexities, betrayals, and often cataclysmic consequences of personal actions have been a hallmark inherent in all of Miller's dramas. Whatever the reason, Miller wrote his disabled son out of his life. By doing so, Miller may have thrown away the opportunity to write even greater plays. As it is, Miller was never to write plays which were as consistently successful as his early plays, written before his son, Daniel's birth. In my own case, Ethan has already influenced how I approach and think about my work. Though this revelation about Miller has disappointed me, his early works remain powerful influences on me. Particularly in Death of a Salesman and All My Sons, both written in 1947, there is no doubt that the complexity of a father-son relationship is a key theme, and he writes about this with great understanding and compassion. I've directed these two plays, and a third, The Price, and they all center on a son's expectations of his father, and the father's attempts, whatever the personal cost, to make an imprint on his son. All My Sons exists in the shadow of Death of a Salesman, but I believe it is his best play in the epic traditions of Greek tragedy. It's a family drama, turbocharged with an inexorable movement towards tragedy as a father's authority is pitted against his son's personal ideals. Against the background of revelations of wartime profiteering at the expense of the lives of men fighting on the front line, Miller lashes out at a political system which encourages ruthless financial success at all costs. As a director, I was instinctively drawn to the play. My production centered on my examination of the father, Joe Keller's slow destruction, brought on by his efforts to be financially secure and successful in the newly emerging post-war America. Curiously, some years later, after becoming a father myself, I begin to understand Joe Keller in a very different way. His actions are clearer to me, and I'm more sympathetic to them. Looking at my own son's face and feeling the urge to give an imprint of myself which will give him the tools to prosper and grow, I feel I might be susceptible to the same decisions which Joe Keller made in his efforts to protect and nurture his family. Without having a father to model myself on, I was orphaned in some way, and I realized that I turned to father archetypes in drama to give me an understanding of what it's like to be a father. In many ways, I was Chris Keller, and Joe Keller was the father whose ideology I was testing and questioning, as I am now testing and questioning my admiration for Miller's own moral integrity in the light of his decision to abandon his responsibility for his disabled son. The dialogue between Keller and his son in Act III is as revealing of the unquestioned depth of a son's belief in his father and its traps as exists in literature. In it, Chris challenges his father's cover-up of having allowed defective engines to be sent out from his factory and not taking the blame for it when his actions result in the deaths of American war pilots and perhaps the death of his oldest son, who was a fighter pilot lost during the war. Keller's defense of his actions, saying that everyone was out to make a buck during the war, isn't enough. Keller is, after all, Chris's father, and that elevates him to a higher, more noble, and virtuous position in his eyes. He says, "I know you're no worse than most men, but I thought you were better. I never saw you as a man. I saw you as my father." I now understand what magnetically drew me to the play, and plays like it from Pinocchio to Hamlet in the first place. In the absence of a father, I was attempting to piece together my own life puzzle through the work I was choosing to direct. The arrival of my first child has aroused an instinct which has also helped me to understand the importance of my own search for a father, and how my choice of plays and my interpretation of them was to a large degree driven by this search. My little boy, now 4, has Down syndrome, and this has created an even deeper, more focused connection between us. After my direction of Brian Friel's play performances, my next project was a radio feature called Crossing the Same River Twice. Over the years, I've accumulated hundreds of random sound clips, which are a part of key events or encounters in my life. How they all fit into an overall pattern of my own journey, on listening to them again, is the thematic center of the piece. Ethan made his way into the program, at first as a walk-on player, as he experienced the local playground for the first time, or made first sounds as he wildly splashed in the bath. As I wrote and constructed the piece, it could only finish in one way. I modeled 2 sounds for him which I thought he was able to achieve. A sound he quietly and tentatively mimicked, and B, which he repeated very quietly. One of the effects of his disability is severe speech delay. Ethan has great difficulty forming words and sounds that would come naturally to most 1-year-olds. After a short silence, Ethan said his first word with great clarity at the age of 3. Ball. What the recorder couldn't catch at that point was his broad, sparkly smile of confidence. At that moment, my role in his life and his in mine became clear to me. We would teach each other, surprise one another, laugh together. I wouldn't be able to direct and dictate how he should be. He would tell me that, and my greatest role would be to encourage his individuality and confidence that he has a place in this world. And it was at that moment that I thought of the fatherly instincts of the Greek father heroes, and above all of the touching image of the Trojan warrior Hector holding his son above his head as he gave him his father's blessing before facing his fate, of Odysseus' tearful joy at reunion with his son Telemachus after a 20-year absence, of super warrior Achilles' mercy on King Priam, his adversary's father, because the old man reminded him of his own father, whom he hardly knew, and how all committed fathers are connected to each other through innate instinct. It's how we allow this father instinct to play out in a contemporary world where the rules of fatherhood are in freefall, and it is left for us to figure out how we fulfill our children's expectations. Accepting the presence of my son in my life has unlocked a powerful instinctive force which allows me to see my past work and future work more clearly than during all those years as a fatherless and childless director. His presence demands a movement away from my ego and a new generosity which is the beginning of the fatherly obligation for me. An obligation to protect him and to help him start his own journey and become a better man than I am.